Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome into Send It In. Happy Tuesday here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. What a loaded show we have for you guys today. Not one, not two, but three guests are going to stop by and join us. Isaac Shea is going to join us here in moments. Nick Kenyon is going to stop by to talk some golf. Then we'll have a little crosstalk with our guy, Jake Hassan, see what's coming up on bet slips and bat flips. We're talking baseball. We're talking Final Four. We're talking golf on the show today. So a lot to get to. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Send it in to us at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X. We'd love to hear from you over the next 30 minutes. And as always, if you miss any part of the show, we got you covered. The Send It In podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, so make sure you check that out as well. Let's get running on a Tuesday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line and check in with our guy, Isaac Shade, host the Locked On College Basketball and Locked On Heels podcast. Make sure you guys follow Isaac on X at Isaac Shade. Isaac, we've been doing this for a while on Tuesdays, man, and now here we are. The road ends here, right, as they like to say, as we head to San Antonio for the Final Four. Before we break down the two great matchups that we have coming up on Saturday, just want your overall thoughts on the tournament thus far, right? I mean, it's been a big topic of discussion, how chalky this tournament has been. Is this where we're headed here in the future with NIL and all these sorts of things? What have been your overall takeaways?
First off, PJ, I'm glad that we're talking college hoops and not MLB with me. I know you'll get there later because my Braves are 0-5. Yes. They look terrible. Profar just got suspended. Lopez went to I'm ready to tear up my tomahawk behind me back there. Okay, in terms of this tournament, man, it does feel like it's the only Final Four that was befitting of the chalky tournament that we've had, right? Like it just had to go that way, and so I'm grateful for that. I love the bonkersness of having some Cinderella teams, but we talked about it last week, you know, upsets early, chalk late, and we had ridiculous matchups this weekend in the Sweet 16 and Elite 8. So many just high-level players. Not all of the games were close games, but so many great teams, and we're going to get that again, as you just referenced a second ago, and that just makes sense to me. At just the second ever in the modern era all one seed Final Four, and that's great. But PJ, I'm still not convinced that this is the new normal. I looked back at it this week. I have, like, I'm a numbers nerd, and so I keep a document with seed aggregates from every year, from every round. Looking back, 10 of the previous 11 Final Fours, we had a 7 seed or worse populating this thing. Right. And so it's just like, yes, we get these outliers every now and again. Like when we had the other all one seed thing in 08, that was in a stretch of 3 years where we had very, very chalky Final Fours. And then it just went to crap again. And so I fully expect maybe we'll get this again next year. But that doesn't even necessarily mean that this is the new normal. We got to wait and see.
I'm with you. I've been saying, Isaac, I think the real upsets are the fact that there were just like no big upsets this year. You know what I mean? You mentioned only the second time that we've had all four number one seeds. And let's not act like these number one seeds weren't tested, right? Maybe outside of Duke,
yes.
Houston got a scare from Gonzaga and Purdue, yep. right? I mean, UConn and Texas Tech could have beaten Florida. So, yes, we have chalk in all these number one seeds, but I agree with you. I personally don't think this is the new norm. But if
and
it
PJ,
is...
PJ, yeah, as we look ahead to Saturday, let's remember how electric that Final Four National Championship game was in 08, the last time we had 4-1 seeds. That was Memphis and Kansas. Chalmers, baby! Chalmers, give me some OT!
Well, and what's funny, Isaac, is you can't win, right? Like, everybody in every other sport, they love when the best team gets together, but in college basketball, it's like, no, I want, like, a 9 seed in the Final Four. You can't just be happy when it's like you're getting the 4 best teams yeah. served on a platter for you, and that's what we get this weekend. We'll start with the SEC matchup, Auburn and Florida. Isaac, we saw these two teams match up in Auburn. Florida was without Elijah Martin in that right. game, and they won by double digits. That was really the game that put Florida on the map as like a true national title contender for a lot of people. Now this time around, they're 2.5-point favorites against Auburn. We don't really know the status of Jahni Broome at this point, so talk to me your process around this game, and like, is Jahni Broome, is that a factor for you not knowing what his status is?
It is a factor. Let's start there with Broome, because he's missed a couple games this year due to injury, missed 2 SEC games, if I remember correctly, and then all but 2 minutes of their game against Georgia State. But something about Jahni Broome is he has come back from injury more quickly than expected multiple times this season. And you know, obviously he came back into this game this weekend, into their Elite Eight game, after that weird play where he both like tweaked his ankle and had that awful hyperextension. I'm like, bro, my elbow don't do stuff like that. I don't know what's his parents are on the sideline, but then he comes back into the game. The question for me, though, is that the adrenaline of the moment, or was he legitimately good? We don't know that as we sit here Tuesday. We still got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We got 4 more sleeps until this next game. I think that's probably good, and it's one of those, you know, you always hear people say, if it was the Final Four, I'd play. Well, it is the Final Four, so he's probably going to be playing, right? Yeah. So I fully expect Jahni Broome to be out there for this thing. And you're right, PJ, that game that Florida won at Auburn is part of what made them have their one seed bona fides. That game, winning at Alabama, beating Tennessee, splitting with Tennessee in the regular season at least, and this Florida team, man, they're so legit. The Elijah Martin factor, having him back now is critical. He's their second leading scorer for the Gators. Also, hello, Final Four experience 2 years ago with FAU. That is going to factor in a big way, I think, as well. You asked me how I'm trying to pay attention to this game. I watched what Darion Williams did from Texas Tech against this deep, deep and big Florida front court. He's only 6'6", but he's out there bully balling in ISO on Tommy Houck and on Alex Condon, and neither of them could handle what he did when isolated, either finishing or distributing or whatever it was. Yes, I know he missed a critical shot late, but Broome has 4 inches on that dude. He should fully be able to do that. I wouldn't be surprised if Bruce Pearl takes a page out of Grant McCaslin's playbook on that.
Yeah, interesting. Maybe look at some Cardwell rebounding props as well, the two bigs there for Auburn. So we got that game. What about the Houston-Duke game, Isaac? How do you see that one playing out?
This one's also a rematch, but of last year's tournament in the Sweet 16 game. That was the game Jamal Shedd got hurt. Ultimately, I think Houston wins that game if that doesn't happen, but it did, and then thankfully we got that Duke-NC State game in the Elite Eight. Like, how did that happen? Anyway, look, Duke wins this game, PJ. That's where I'm at. These teams are both phenomenally good. They are a combined 49-2 in calendar year 2025. It's simply absurd. The only two losses being Duke's loss at Clemson and Houston's weird loss against Texas Tech. But with Houston, they are so tough. They're so gritty, but they have a size problem. And PJ, they've got a math problem. Let me explain what I mean. Houston's season-long numbers in terms of threes, frees, and twos, the math don't math here with it. Houston is 5th in the nation right now in three-point field goal percentage, but they don't take a ton of attempts. They're 273rd in three-point attempts. So it's like, all right. And also Duke kind of shuts that down. We saw that with Alabama. Free throws, they have a low free throw rate, which is weird for Houston as a team, 327th in free throw rate. So then I'm like, okay, well, maybe Houston can hit a bunch of twos to try to figure this thing out. Well, they're 296th in the nation in two-point field goal percentage, 48.4%. Combine that with the fact that Duke's two-point defense is third nationally. So, PJ, at all three levels of that, I'm like, where does Houston score on this crazy Duke defense? I think they're going to have to attack more, and I think they're going to have to find a way to shoot more threes than they typically do. But as we saw, as I said, with Alabama last week, that ain't easy. Duke straight up, but give me Houston to stay within the points.
All right, very good. National title game, Isaac. So you like Duke, and then do you like Auburn against Florida? Is that who you're rolling with?
I am, yes.
Okay.
Auburn over Florida, yep, and Duke over that. That's here's the thing for me, PJ. I cheer for my bracket, right? I'm a consummate professional. I'm staying out of all the, you know, homerism and things like that. Duke is playing the best in the nation, but for me, PJ, I cheer for my bracket. My bracket has Auburn over Duke, so there's my pick.
Okay, Auburn over Duke. There you go. And then what is the Isaac Shady pick of the day? You can go with a side, total, player prop. What's your favorite Shady pick of the Final Four?
I want to give you a player prop, and I want to give you a big picture thing. You just mentioned Dylan Cardwell's rebounds. I'm actually going Janai Broome. His rebounds for Saturday is set at over under 10.5. The over is plus 100. He's had 11 plus in every game of the NCAA tournament, and it's been growing. 14 and 16 last week. And obviously the caveat of watch his playing status. If not, then yeah, let's go with Cardwell's rebounds for sure. How about this though, PJ? In terms of national championship odds, the number one overall seed has the longest national championship odds at plus 525. I'm not saying that my pick Auburn's going to win this thing, but how can you ignore the great value that that sets up for you? Give me Auburn as a great value pick to win the national championship.
I mean, yeah, look, if they beat Florida, Houston upsets Duke, that game's probably going to be a pick 'em, and you have plus 525 in your pocket. So I love it. Isaac Shade joining us here on Send It In. Make sure you guys give him a follow on X at Isaac Shade, host of Locked On College Basketball and Locked On Heels podcast. Isaac, appreciate you joining us all season, my friend. Enjoy the Final Four.
Thanks, PJ. Have a good show.
All right, man. Talk to you later. Let's keep it going with some college hoops. As today, we will do a deep dive into Duke Houston. Tomorrow, we will look at Florida and Auburn. Will also look at the women's Final Four between South Carolina and Texas as well. Let's start with that Houston-Duke game, though. Duke favored by 5.5. The total in the game is 136.5. As I was talking about yesterday, I think if you like Houston, you certainly can play it safe and take the 5.5. I would just bet them money line in this game. Whereas if you like Duke, then I would lay the 5.5 with them. That's really what I think is going to be Duke's undoing. And I've been talking about it all year. And I've been talking about it here when we've been in the NCAA tournament. Can you get Duke into a close game in the final 2-3 minutes? When Cooper Flagg has been healthy and Duke has played in a game that has been decided by 6 or fewer points, they are 1-3 in those games. Obviously, up to this point, all four teams that they have played, they've pretty much taken care of all those teams rather easily. I know the Arizona game ended up kind of getting close late, but you never felt like at any point Arizona was really going to win that game. Can Houston get this game late enough to where Duke is in some trouble and people are watching this game feeling like Houston's got a chance to upset Duke? If they can do that, I think they can win it outright. So if you like the Cougars, again, you could take them +5.5. I would just take them on the money line. If you like Duke, I would lay the 5.5 with them. Total in the game is 136.5. I'm going to stay away from that total. Feels about right. I could see it going either way. But again, if you like Duke, lay the 5.5 with them. If you like Houston, I would just bet them outright at plus 200. Some player props that I would look at in the game. And they're kind of both correlated with one another, and it's all based on Houston and how they play defense, right? If you watch Houston play, their defense is suffocating. They're flying all around the court. They love causing turnovers and forcing steals, but they also love doubling in the post as well. Whenever a player, the opposing team, has it on the block or they're down low, Houston always sends a double team towards that guy, and that's what Duke's going to have to work against this week leading up to the game, and that's what they're going to have to handle in the Final Four. And when they do that, when Houston doubles in the post, it's going to allow opportunities for three-point shooters on the outside. That's why I like Tyrese Proctor over 12.5 points for Duke. He's gone over this in 3 of the 4 games so far in the tournament. He's been shooting the cover off the ball in March Madness, so Tyrese Proctor over 12.5 assists. Then if you want a sweaty one, we'll go with Kaman Malawach, the big man of Duke, over 0.5 assists. Just need one assist out of Malawach, plus 115. Now, he had one in his last game against Bama. He went the previous two without an assist. He's had plenty of games this season where he doesn't have an assist. But again, because Houston likes doubling in the post, I think Malawach, if he has it in the post, kicks it out for a three-point shooter, we could get it there. Or if he gets an offensive rebound, could kick it out to a shooter as well. So I could foresee some opportunities where Malawach could kick it to some shooters. I'm hoping they knock down some shots. We just get one assist out of him at plus 115. As for the women's Final Four games, South Carolina and Texas, Gamecocks favored by 4.5. The total is 127.5. This is going to be the fourth meeting between these two teams this season. South Carolina has won two of them. Texas won the game in Austin 66-62. The two South Carolina wins were blowouts. They won by 17 and 19 points. Yet here we are, and the spread is only 4.5. And if you've been watching South Carolina so far in the tournament, they have not looked like normal South Carolina, right? On this run that they've been on with Dawn Staley, we're used to them kind of being the new UConn. They win every game by 15, 20, 25 points. Hasn't been the case as of late. They were big favorites against Maryland, only won that game by 4. They survived Duke, only winning that game by 2. Now they go up against a team who has a ton of familiarity with them. It should be a low-scoring game. I'll take those points with Texas plus 4.5 against South Carolina. All right, let's talk some golf here on Send It In. A little teed up Tuesday at the Valero Texas Open. We're at TPC San Antonio this week, just under 7,500 yards at 7,494. It is a par 72. It can be a difficult golf course. Really, the defense this week out in San Antonio is the wind. If this wind is really howling and blowing hard, then we got a chance at some difficult conditions and some lower scores. If there's really no wind and it's good scoring conditions, you're going to see probably the winner shooting about 20 under par or somewhere in that range. Greg Norman design and really the key metrics that we're looking at here, strokes gained off the tee and strokes gained tee to green. Definitely helps to be in the fairway this week, and you got to hit the greens this week. There are some difficult approaches. There are some undulating greens, so you got to be accurate this week. We're looking for guys that are good off the tee and good with their irons as well. And we will start with Hideki Matsuyama at 20-1. The last 2 years, he has finished in the top 15 at this course. Still one of the elite players on the PGA Tour, tee to green. And really, it's going to be about Hideki, how well he putts this week, and also how good he is off the tee. Off the tee, strokes gained, Hideki is just over 100 on the PGA Tour, but strokes gained tee to green, he's in the top 15. So he's elite with his irons. He's great with his fairway woods. Hideki needs a good week driving and putting as well. If he can do those things, he's got a great shot at winning. So we'll look at Hideki at 20-1. Keith Mitchell, I'm looking at 40-1. Keith has a great combo of off the tee. He drives it long. He drives it straight. Also a good iron player as well. He hasn't played here in a couple years. His last start was in 2022, but he finished 8th at this event when he played. So he's got some good course history. This course should match up well for him. I like Keith Mitchell at 40-1. And then finally, long shot that I like, Rico Hoey at 66-1. This guy is second on tour in strokes gained off the tee and 6th in strokes gained tee to green. He's great. He's very accurate with his tee shot and with his irons as well. And that's what we're looking for this week. And the price that we're getting at 66-1, I think it's a good one. He's only played here once. That was last year when he finished 14th. So Rico Hoey, 66-1. I think a guy worth looking at this week. Matsuyama, Keith Mitchell, and Rico are the three guys that I'm eyeing at the Valero Texas Open. All right, let's get to our guy now, Nick Henion, joining us here on Send It In. Get some of Nick's thoughts for the Valero Texas Open. And also, we got to talk some Masters with Nick as well, as that is rapidly approaching next week. Nick, before we get to Augusta and some Masters talk, let's break down the Valero Open this week. And just talk to me about some of the guys that you're handicapping this week. How do you see this course playing? Who are some golfers that you're targeting?
Yeah. Hey, TJ. It's kind of a weird setup this week because you already mentioned it's a pretty long course, just under 7,500 yards, but it doesn't really play as long as the yardage would indicate. A lot of that length is carried in the par fives this week. Three of the four over 590 yards, two of those three north of 600. So the rest of the course, you actually kind of want to prioritize good drives gained rather than driving distance this week, as far as off the tee is concerned. In addition to the stats you mentioned, I placed a ton of emphasis on the par five efficiency for the week. Three of the last four winners here have led the field in that category. So it's really, there's really a strong correlation between how you perform in that category and your final position on the leaderboard, as well as bogey avoidance. It's not really a birdie fest, and it's sounding like it's going to play pretty firm this week. So not a lot of birdie chances to be had except on those par fives. So looking at guys who can do both of those two things well.
I love it. That's a great stat there on the par fives, Nick. All right, so with all that being said, who are some guys that you're looking at this week in San Antonio?
I think this is the first week you and I are not going to have any shared outright picks this week. We'll start off the card with Keegan Bradley at 25-1. Four top 20s in his last six starts, including a pair of top six finishes. He really has that complete game you're looking for at TPC San Antonio in terms of that strokes gained tee to green record. Full calendar year, sixth in the field over his last 12 rounds, fourth in the field. He's also top 10 in bogey avoidance and par 5 efficiency, as well as par 4 efficiency between 450 and 500 over those last 12 rounds. So I think he's rounding into form at the right moment. Give me Keegan, 25-1. I usually don't like to pick the flavor of the week, but I do like Daniel Berger at 30-1. The market has really steamed him down from his opening price, but last 24 rounds, pretty difficult to ignore. Fourth in strokes gained tee to green, sixth in good drives gained, fifth in bogey avoidance. If you look at the courses he's had success on in his career, they are these type of long setups where there's a lot of wind. He tends to play really well in those. If you look at his career on courses over 7,400 yards with mid to high winds, eighth in strokes gained total in this field for the Valero Texas Open. And then finally, I'm going with Bud Cauley at 45-1 last I checked. This one almost seems a little too obvious to me, but he's coming off his third best career round ever in terms of strokes gained approach at the Valspar. Two straight top 10 finishes at the Valspar and the Players' Championship. So he's playing really well, and he's gained around the greens in five of his last six. That has historically proved kind of a sneaky stat this week as far as driving finishing position. So Bud Cauley at 45-1, if you look at the six core stats that have driven each of the last two winners' success here, you can find those over in my picks column on BetMGM blog. He is no worse than fifth in any of the 12, 24, and 36 round models in that span. The only other guy to achieve that is Tommy Fleetwood. He's 14-1. So Bud Cauley at 45-1, I like that price a lot.
I love it. All right, Keegan Bradley, Daniel Berger, Bud Cauley from our guy, Nick Kenyon. Nick, before we let you go, we got to talk some Masters, right? So we got the Valero this week. The Masters will follow after that. Anybody that you've already bet that you think is still a good price right now, or anybody that you're considering to bet, thinking that maybe the price is going to go down, right? Because we know that right now there could be some good prices on some guys before all eyes are on the Masters and everybody starts betting those guys next week. Anybody that maybe you've considered betting or that you've already bet for Augusta?
So I have Ludwig at 16-1 in pocket. I'm sort of softening my love on that one, especially because he's playing this week. And historically, you haven't seen many Masters winners play the week before and then go on to win the next week. Colin Morikawa, I bet it at 22-1 a few weeks ago. It's down to 16, I think, last I checked. It's still probably a bettable number, but I obviously liked it a lot better when he was in the 20s and, you know, in that 20-25-1 range. I'll tell you what, I was looking at Shane Lowry around 35 or 40-1 earlier this morning as far as a Masters pick. He does have a top five finish a few years ago at Augusta, and historically, it has been kind of his weakest major, despite that third place finish. But the price for a player who's one of the best tee to green guys this season is a little difficult to ignore. So I'm still making a decision, but that price definitely jumped out at me earlier this morning.
All right, there you go. Morikawa now 14-1 on BetMGM. So good number there, Nick. 22-1 with Morikawa. Make sure you guys are following Nick on X at Nick Kenyon, senior writer for BetMGM, joining us each and every Tuesday here on Send It In. Nick, always appreciate the time. Good luck this week, sir. Looking forward to breaking down the Masters next week.
All right, sounds good. Looking forward to it. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. All right, guys, let's talk some baseball here before we get to our guy, Jake Kazan. We got the Mets and the Marlins in Miami tonight, 6:40 p.m. Eastern time. Kodai Senga going up against Sandy Alcantara, who's making his second start after missing all of last year with Tommy John. And Sandy was dealing through the first couple innings, so I like taking the Marlins on the first five tonight against the Mets, getting them at plus 110. I think Sandy is going to start the game again really well, and then either the Marlins will pull him or pull off a little bit towards the second, third time through the order, so we'll take Marlins plus 110. In the first five. Rangers and Reds out in Cincinnati. I like Texas to bounce back. They got crushed yesterday by the Reds. I like them minus 145 today. Give me the Diamondbacks in a pick 'em. Corbin Burns on the mound against Will Warren today for the Yankees. Give me Arizona and Corbin Burns at minus 110 against the Yanks. Pirates and Rays today, this is the highest total on the board at 9. With two offenses that really aren't all that spectacular, I'll take the over in the game. Wind blowing out in Tampa, good weather. Not a great pitching matchup, especially for the Pirates, so we'll go over 9 in that one. I think the Nats money line price is too high at plus 140. Jose Berrios against Trevor Williams. I'll take the Nats today on the money line at plus 140. Brewers, I think, finally win a game today. All they have been doing is just been getting shelled the first four games of the season. They lost yesterday 11-1 to Kansas City. I think they finally stopped the bleeding today, get their first win of the year. Give me Milwaukee at minus 125. Giants and Astros today. Logan Webb on the bump for San Francisco, but we're getting Houston as home dogs. Too good to pass up. Webb's great as a sinker ball pitcher when he's in a pitcher's park, but obviously with the Crawford boxes there in Houston, short left field, I'll go with the Astros today, plus 100 at home. Tigers and Mariners, after scoring 15 runs yesterday, Logan Gilbert, Casey Mize on the mound today. I think we get more of an under game, so I like under 7 in that one. And then I'll be the idiot to bet against the Dodgers today. Chris Sale and the Braves finally get a win. It's Sale day. This is the game they got to win. Give me Chris Sale and the Braves plus 118 against the Dodgers. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. Do you feel you got a strong lineup of bets for MLB action? BetMGM's got your back with a MLB Parlay Boost token. Boost your MLB parlays with BetMGM. Swing for bigger payouts. Just log in, activate your token, and watch your winnings grow. Brought to you by the Sportsbook Born in Vegas, BetMGM. I'll ride as part of the parlay tonight with the Diamondbacks on the money line against the Yankees. All right, let's get to our guy, Jake Kazan here, host of Bet Slips and Bat Flips, which you can catch right here on the BetMGM network right after us, coming up in about 4 minutes from 1:30 to 2 p.m. Eastern time. And Jake, shout out to you, my guy. Andrés Giménez with a dong last night. Tigers first five money line. That game was 6-0 after one. You probably turned it off. So kudos to you, sir. How you doing today?
I mean, PJ, after what you just rattled off, I'm feeling great. Anytime that you hit a better than 8-1 home run prop on the first day of the show, it's great. It's a Tuesday today, so we're going to try and keep it rolling, hopefully, with another long price in the home run market. I'm stoked. And PJ, let me just say, anytime that you're on the same side as something that I'm on, I feel great. I am also on the Diamondbacks. I am also on the Nationals today. So let's get it.
Hell yeah, absolutely love it. Corbin Burns, I think, is going to shove tonight. Looking forward to that one. Jake, you know who's really struggling right now is Rafi Devers. I think he's like 0 for 19 with 15 strikeouts. The Braves are also just looking for a win. I kind of think they might be live tonight against the Dodgers. Which one are you more concerned about, Atlanta or Rafi Devers?
I'm more concerned about Atlanta at this point. I mean, they got dudes taking steroids, PJ, and that can't even score runs. So it's just a mess over there, and we keep hearing the refrain, oh, well, we just got to wait for Acuna. We just got to wait for Strider. And once they come back, everything's going to be okay. I don't know that that's going to be the case, Peach. I mean, especially because we don't have a serious timeline for either of these guys. We just keep hearing soon, in the next couple of weeks, in the next month. And it feels like the can keeps getting kicked down the road here with both of these guys. I look at this Braves team, and I just don't really see the light at the end of the tunnel right now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Jake, real quick, tell us what you got coming up on the show today.
Like I said, it's a Tuesday, so we're going to go long shot hunting in the home run market. And I mentioned it. You like it. I'm going against Jose Berríos, baby. We are going to hit that hard, have a bunch of props in that game. We're back in the Nationals, and we are getting that bum out of my face.
Absolutely love it. Bet slips, bat flips coming up with our guy Jake Hassan in about 2 minutes. Make sure you guys stick around for that. Jake, love you, pal. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you, buddy.
All right, PJ's plays to wrap up the show here on Send It In. Our going streaking play today. We took Carlos Correa yesterday. Shame on us for betting against Shawnee Sharpe's White Sox. 0-for-1, got pulled early on in that game. We're going with Yandy Diaz, though, today of the Tampa Bay Rays. That Rays-Pirates game is the highest total on the board at 9, so expect some runs, and I'm just going to take the best hitter off the team that's favored in the game, and that's Yandy Diaz, so he's going to be our play today in going streaking. Prop lock is going to be out of Duke Houston in the Final Four. Kaman Malawak over a half assist. Just need one. Just one assist at plus 115 with the way that Houston doubles in the post and obviously Malawak's ability to get offensive rebound, kick out to shooters for three. I think we're getting one assist. And how can you not love it at the plus 115? Astros are going to be our dog of the day. Logan Webb is on the mound for the Giants, but that's why we're getting Houston as a dog. Give me the Astros at plus 100. And then my best bet, Corbin Burns, Arizona Diamondbacks. All the Yankees did was score a billion runs over the weekend, yet they're a pick'em today at home. I think there's a reason for that. Give me the Snakes at minus 110. Thanks again to Nick Henyon, Isaac Shade for joining us today on the show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Make sure you stick around for bet slips and bat flips coming up. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.